We've been going to talk about kindness for about 3 weeks now, and we've finally gotten around to it, and a couple of things have been happening that sort of indicated to me that maybe it was meant to be this way. We're going to start by reading a passage from Paul's letter to the Church of Rome. It talks about God's kindness toward us, and his desire that we reflect that kindness toward others. Beginning at the first verse of the second chapter. You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on other people. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same thing. Now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere mortal, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek honor, glory, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. Well, I was rather limited on the lessons that I could choose for today. And in some ways it was a little bit confusing too, because the word kindness that Paul uses when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit is a very particular word. And we tend not to be as careful with our words as God is. And I did a little word study of kindness and found that although the Bible uses the word kindness quite often, it doesn't come from this particular word very often. In fact, there's only about 10 places in the New Testament where this word is used. One of them was in today's lesson, where it appeared a couple of times, where we were told that we should not show contempt for the riches of God's kindness, because his kindness leads us toward repentance. And when we seek to return that kindness, to show kindness to others, God is pleased. A little bit later, in the next chapter in Romans, we have the very familiar passage which says that all have turned away and have become altogether worthless. There is no one who does good, no, not even one. That word good is actually the same word, kindness. There is no one who shows kindness, no, not even one. And again, later in Romans, we're reminded again of the kindness of God in chapter 11, where we read, "Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will be cut off." In 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking about the troubles that he has been through. He says, "We are God's servants, and we commend ourselves to you in every way, through endurance and troubles and hardship and distress and beatings, imprisonment and riots, through hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love." Of course, Galatians reminds us that kindness is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In Ephesians, we're reminded that God has shown his grace expressed in his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. And in Colossians, we are reminded that as God's chosen people, Holy and dearly loved, we should clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Finally, in Titus, Paul sort of reviews the whole salvation story when he says that at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. And this is the key to understanding what that word kindness really means. Kindness is not just being nice to somebody. The prime example of kindness is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, where the Bible reminds us that while we were still sinners and separated from him, while we were his enemies, hating him in the depths of our hearts, even while we professed to love him, it was then that God offered to us the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. He did not wait for us to deserve the gift, because he knew that we never would. Without that sacrifice to pay the penalty of our sin and to cleanse us from the guilt of sin and to free us from the power of sin, it would be impossible for us to live in such a way that we would earn his love. Kindness is showing love to others when they don't deserve it. It's very closely related to grace. If there's a word in the English language that truly sums up the spirit of kindness and what the word kindness means, it would be the word altruism. It's not as common a word, but it's a good word nonetheless. It's a word most of us have heard in passing. We may not know exactly what it means, but we've heard it. Altruism. And I know that's the perfect word for kindness, because we got Megan a calendar for Christmas, one of those you tear off a page for each day, and it was sort of the word of the day, words that used to be well known in the English language but are not in common use anymore. And when I turned yesterday, last evening, we got home and I went out to the office to check the answering machine, and I saw this calendar sitting there on my desk, and I thought, I wonder what the word for tomorrow is for today. And I looked it up, and by golly, the word for today is altruism. And I had been thinking along those lines, and that was really kind of a confirmation for me that today is the day that I should be talking about kindness. Altruism is a word we usually associate with philosophy. A lot of people connect it with Plato, because he talks about the highest love being a love that's even greater and deeper than a love of husband and wife, which is, in many cultures, is considered the deepest love, even deeper than a love of a parent for a child, which is rival to the love of husband and wife. Altruism is the highest level of love. It's a kind of love that we will show to those that we have no connection with. There's no reason we should love them, like a husband would say, well, I promise to love my wife. And or a parent would say to a child, well, I love you because you're my child, you're my son, you're my daughter. Altruism goes beyond that and shows a similar kind of concern and kindness toward people, even if they're total strangers. Or even as in the case of God showing his love to us, even if they are totally opposed to us and are our enemy. To show love to an enemy is indeed one of the most difficult kinds of love to demonstrate. Another aspect of altruism is that it expects nothing in return. A love that is true altruism is a love that loves without any thought of what it gets in return. If I say to myself, well, I'll love my neighbor because I know that God is watching me. And if I don't love my neighbor, God's not going to be happy with me. Or if I say to myself, I will love my brother or sister even though they irritate me, because I know that God will reward me for the kindness that I show to them. That's not altruism. That's not kindness in the sense that Paul means it when he speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. A love that loves because it knows it's going to be rewarded for that love is a good love, and there's nothing wrong with it. But kindness goes one step further. Kindness is a love that is shown without any regard for whether it will be noticed or returned or rewarded. It is a totally self-giving love. And if there ever was a week when I should be talking about this kind of love, it would be this week after the week that Tammy and I shared out in Seattle. Now, for the sake of those of you who may not know what happened last week, we got an invitation back in the spring from an organization that called themselves the Pastoral Call, headed by a former retired LB pastor, Gaylord Gunhus, who was a chaplain in the military ever since he graduated from seminary, spent the last 4 or 5 years of his career as chief of chaplains in the Army, has been retired now for 4 years, and he and his wife have started a foundation where they offer to pastors, particularly pastors of small congregations or missionaries, the people who are least able to take advantage of a situation like this, people who are least likely to encounter this sort of an experience, and he offers them totally free a week of being treated like king and queen. That's about what it was. All we had to do was get out and come back. Well, all we had to do was get out. We didn't really have to come back. And we threatened to stay, and they said, well, it's going to get crowded because we're getting a new group next week. Well, tell them not to come. We're staying. He has a 57-foot yacht, and it's based in Bellingham, Washington, which is about 90 miles north of Seattle, about 20 miles south of the Canadian border, right on the coast of the Puget Sound. And those of you who are familiar with that area, I was not at all. But if you're familiar with that area, you know that out in the Sound, there are a series of islands they call the San Juan Islands. And what we did, we started in Bellingham, and for 5 days we just sailed on that, well, I didn't sail because it was a powerboat, it wasn't a sailboat. We just motored along in the Sound from island to island. Each night we would stay, the first night we stayed at the resort at the marina in Bellingham, which is a huge, beautiful, just a beautiful, almost like a mansion. They have a lighthouse there that is a sort of a three-story honeymoon suite. And they have people that have weddings there, and then the bride and groom stay in that lighthouse for probably $500 a night, something like that. The first night we gathered together, Sunday evening, we gathered for dinner in the restaurant of that resort. They passed around menus, and he said, I'm going to tell you this, every day that you're here, don't look at the prices, because you're not paying for a thing. There wasn't a dinner for less than $20. Seafood, mostly seafood, as you can imagine. I have never had so much seafood in my life. And I never knew it tasted so good. The first night we went to a place called Friday Harbor, and I was very tempted to wear my red t-shirt that said Friday Harbor on it, to preach this morning, but I thought God might find that just a little bit tacky, especially since we're having communion. But stayed at a bed and breakfast at Friday Harbor, just a beautiful bed and breakfast, two Victorian houses converted into bed and breakfast. The accommodations were just wonderful, and Second day, we traveled to nearby Lopez Island and stayed at a place there. The third and fourth days, we sailed to Orcas Island, so named because there are a lot of orcas, whales that pass by. We didn't see any, but there are. If you're lucky, you'll see one showing off in the sound. We stayed 2 days at a resort there that's got a whole history behind it that we'll share with you if you ask us, and maybe even if you don't. We stayed there and went to the highest point on the San Juan Islands, Mount Constitution, which is a state park, and we got a view of Washington State and some of Canada all the way down to Seattle, Mount Rainier and Mount Baker, which is out west of Bellingham. And the weather was perfect. It was just wonderful. And then the last night, we couldn't fly out until Saturday, so we got one extra night in Bellingham. We really didn't want to come home. And the whole time, I'm saying to myself, all right, when are they going to spring it on us? Well, there's got to be some sort of a timeshare thing or something going on here. There has to be a catch. Nobody just does this. But they did. Their whole purpose was to give clergy couples an opportunity to get away for a while and to meet with other clergy couples. We had three other couples with us. Two of them were retired and one was still in the ministry. All from the West Coast. We never would have met them if we hadn't gone on this trip. It was just wonderful. And the hardest part was coming home. Until we got up in the air, and then we thought, well, we're coming home to friends, and so that's kind of nice, too. And I couldn't help but think of this as I reflected on kindness. What an example of kindness. Doing this just for the sake of doing it. The Gunhuses didn't know us. They did know the other three couples, but they didn't know us from Adam and Eve. And yet they offered it to us. And just said, you know, the souvenirs you have to pay for yourself. But room and board, it's all on the house. I got to thinking about it, and I realized three things about kindness just from this trip. First of all, as I said before, true kindness, altruism, true kindness expects nothing in return. We took a little gift with us. We took a little stained glass cross that Tammy came across as a gift to the host and hostess. They weren't happy at first. They said, you weren't supposed to do anything like that. Turns out, Mrs. Gunhus, has a cross collection. And so the gift just fit right in. That was sort of I thought that was nice. Of course, Tammy's the one that picked the gift out, so I thought, well, she has a knack of doing that. They expected nothing in return. Absolutely nothing. Now, if I had been a pastor of a larger church, then they would have wanted me to go home and say to my church council, how about if, as a part of our mission budget, we funnel a little bit of money to this foundation so that they can continue doing this for pastors and missionaries. But being a pastor of a small church, I had nothing to give. We don't make that kind of money. We couldn't have afforded one day of that trip. And they knew it. And that's why they did it. And that's what kindness is. Kindness is doing for someone what you know they'll appreciate, but what you also know they cannot return. And you don't do it with the thought that God will bless you. You just do it because you want to do. Jesus said, if you're going to have a dinner, don't have a dinner for family or for friends, because if you have them over for dinner, then next week they'll have you over for dinner. But when you have a dinner, invite the people off the street that can't pay you back, people who can't afford to eat. Give them a dinner. Because if you do for others who cannot repay you, you're truly expressing the character of God. Second lesson I learned about kindness is kindness really is expensive. Kindness costs. It just doesn't cost the person you're being kind to. Every day when we went to dinner, or breakfast. Breakfast was a breakfast buffet, cost $17 a person. I don't pay that much for dinner. And every time we sat down for a meal, or every time we went back to our accommodations in the evening, Tammy and I would look at each other and we would say, how can they afford to do this? Kindness is expensive. If we're truly kind to somebody else, we have to understand that it's going to be a sacrifice for us. Kindness does it because it wants to. But it is expensive. And we need to be aware of that, because it will cost. Third lesson I learned about kindness is, when we experience kindness, when we're the recipients of kindness, there are very few things in life so refreshing as to be the recipient of kindness. If you've ever noticed, if you've ever been out and about and something has happened and you've needed somebody's help and somebody was there, total stranger, but they helped you. That feeling that you get from realizing someone has done something for me, not because I can pay them back, but because my situation offered to them an opportunity to help, and they helped. There are few things in life as refreshing and revitalizing as that. And the Gunhuses knew that, and that's why they offered this. They offer this week to enable pastors and missionaries and their families to get away so that they can be refreshed and revitalized and come back to their place of ministry, hopefully with a new sense of inspiration. So in a way, they're doing it for the pastors. But in another way, they're also doing it for the congregations and the mission fields that the pastors and missionaries serve. Because they know that one of the best ways they can help a church or a mission field is to provide a little inspiration for the pastor or the missionary. So there are three lessons I learned about kindness. First of all, true kindness does not expect or look for a return or reward. Secondly, kindness is costly. And thirdly, kindness is refreshing and inspiring to those who receive it. It leaves them wanting to show the same kindness to others that was shown to them. As I reflect on these three lessons, I can't help but come back to the cross, because that is where true kindness reached its highest expression. How appropriate that today, when we're talking about kindness, and I'm sharing with you the tremendous blessings that Tammy and I experienced last week, how appropriate that we're having communion today. You may be thinking to yourself, boy, if somebody treated me like that for a week, that'd be nice. And it would be. And I'd give anything if I could talk to the Gunhuses and have him invite all of you, three couples, four couples at a time, to go out and experience what we experienced. But as tremendous a gift as that vacation was for Tammy and me, this gift right here that we'll be offering and receiving this morning is of a value that so far exceeds what we received last week. If we would appreciate what this gift represents, and if we would be able to experience its full benefit in our lives, then this truly would be a way for me to share with you the blessing we received last week. For this gift represents kindness. Jesus offers this to us, his body and blood. Does not expect any return. He knows we cannot pay him back for what he has offered. This gift takes us to this gift. When Jesus died on the cross, God was offering to us something that there was no way that we could achieve for ourselves what that cross achieves for us. And there is no way that we can come to God and say to Him, "Thank you that Jesus died for me. I really deserve it." If we were to have an attitude like that, we would be utterly scorned. To think that we could begin to pay God back for what Jesus did for us on the cross. God offers His grace and His love to all. He does not expect us to earn it or deserve it, because He knows we can't. And there is no one to reward God for His kindness, because He's God. He's doing it totally out of love and concern and compassion, the ingredients of kindness. Secondly, if ever was there was a gift of kindness that cost the giver, it's this gift right here. In a few minutes I'm going to say, this is, Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Then I'm going to say, this is my blood, the blood of the covenant shed for you. It cleanses you of your sin. It's a reminder of the forgiveness and grace that we find when we go to the cross. Did it ever cost the giver? It cost Jesus so much that the night before it happened, He begged the Father, "If there's any way we can accomplish what we want to accomplish without me having to go through this ordeal of the cross, please, let it be so. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." There is no gift that has ever been given. Not if the Gunhuses were to offer to take Tammy and me for the rest of our lives and do nothing but cruise around the Puget Sound and stay in fancy resorts and eat the kind of seafood that I only dream about. For the rest of our lives, if they were to do that, still could not compare to what it cost Jesus to offer us this gift. And yet He did it. And He offers it freely to us, knowing that many people will refuse it. Most people won't even know its value. And even those who do receive it will never live up to the potential that this gift represents. But God offers it to us nonetheless. And through this gift, He reminds you and me that when we stand before Him in judgment, as our lessons today mention, the judgment is coming and each of us will receive according to what we have done. When we stand before Him in judgment, we will realize how far short of our potential we have fallen. And nevertheless, God will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we, as Jesus has instructed us, we will respond, "We are not worthy of the love you are showing, for we have only done what was our duty." No gift of kindness could ever cost as much as this gift cost Jesus. Yet He offers it freely. And finally, what gift can so refresh us as a gift that carries with it the blessing of a kind and compassionate God? A God who promises, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never give to you a trial that you will not be able to endure. And through everything that happens to you, good or bad, I will be able to work my wonder in your heart, completing that work of new creation that was begun when you first accepted the gift of kindness, the forgiveness offered by Jesus on the cross. Surely there is no greater gift, there is no greater act of kindness than what God has shown to us and what, through me, he will be offering you this morning. So in a few minutes when I say take and eat, and when I say take and drink, receive the kindness of God. Taste and see that God is good and his love endures forever. Heavenly Father, how can we thank you for the love you have shown to us, except by being refreshed by it and inspired through it to show that kindness to others. We thank you for enduring the cost of our salvation, and we offer ourselves freely to you and say to you, fill us with your Spirit, and through us demonstrate your kindness to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would the ushers please come forward for the offering?